Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 45 episode 12 predictions and power rankings. And today we are joined for the first time by the winner of season 43, Gabler. What's going on, Gabler? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Alexa. Thank you, Phil. It's a pleasure to be here. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. Survivor 45 is in full swing, and we could probably talk for hours on this one, but it was a great one last week, and I'm counting down the minutes to Wednesday.
Yeah, we had perfect timing on Emily going home last week and then getting you here. Everybody's upset, everybody's devastated, but because of you, we had probably the most popular casting decision of the new era. So let's kind of go through your thought process on Miss Emily here.
You know, it's been an amazing ride that we were all lucky enough to kind of be a part of by watching her this season. She's a very interesting person. She's super smart. She's quirky and odd like all of us, but it's, you know, she kind of got in there, and the way Emily lived up to that point on that beach on day one, when she was calling out the other tribe and naming Bruce and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, whoa, 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 that's way too high threat level early on. But you know, Caleb, Emily's, to her credit, is great at making friends. And you know, she's very honest. She's a very truthful person. And I think that's very disarming and endearing in a lot of ways. And then, you know, Caleb saw her and kind of took her under his wing. And he's a social PhD, whatever, you know, that guy's just amazing. So he was able to kind of say, look, don't do this, do this. They had some kind of a visit, and he kind of mentored almost a little bit. And then she just took that and ran with it. And she was doing, I mean, she was my pick once, you know, my first pick was Sabaya to win the season. She was my early pick. And then Lulu kind of fell apart. And then, you know, it just kind of kept going. And then I was like, I'm all in on Emily. And she's great. And I think she learned so much as a person about herself. And that's what the beauty of Survivor is. And if you really stick it out and you endure the hardships and the trials and tribulations, you can't help but grow from that and come out a little bit better the other side. And she certainly did. I think she's one of the winners this season, mm-hmm. in that she just has the gift of herself that she got to know that much better. And we got to know her a little bit as well. And she's a special person. I've actually talked to her, I texted her online. We're the Survivor family's kind of going on, and just, mm-hmm. We've had some jokes together. She's fun. Everything's great.
Go ahead. I just feel like people get so out of context sometimes when these things happen, right? Like when Emily's, I went on this show because of Gabler and I was so annoyed and all of that. And that becomes kind of a driving force, right, for the narrative that's going on. But what I think a lot of people don't see is what you're talking about there, the behind the scenes of how everybody does, not everybody gets along. We're not going to lie and pretend that's the case. But, you know, you have those behind the scene jokes and moments, because at the end of the day, Emily did what she needed to do to get on the show.
Yeah.
And then she does, she is who she is, and she talks to you. And I mean, we mentioned it a lot from the Bryce and Wendell event. Like when we met you, it was like, oh my God, yeah, I see why Gabler won $1 million. Sure. Like, let's walk over here. So it was, you get it when you start to interact with people more and more, sure. and more. And I think Emily is one of those people who the first, hey, if you met Emily at like a Starbucks and she didn't get what she wanted right away, maybe you wouldn't be so stoked about meeting Emily. But I feel like the more you get to know her, the better she's going to be.
100%. She also, you know, I think it was the night that Sabaya went home, but Emily, she's pleading, and she's like, I have friends, people like me. You like, and it was upsetting that it got to a point where she had to convince people of that. Yeah. But it was also really, I think I said this at some point, but it's really hard to be told directly to your face that people don't like you or there's something about you that isn't good. And she did that on TV and we watched her take that and turn it into something really beautiful. And I feel you're right. Like one of the most popular players of the new era, but also probably one of the most relatable people too, because I think every one of us has gone through something like that. And for her to then emerge this fan favorite and then dance for cheese and then go home crying, it's incredible.
She well said, Alexa. I mean, she really did all of those things and more. And I think that one of the big factors this season also are the 90-minute episodes, which I'm loving because I'm never in a hurry to get done with Survivor Night. You know, that's that 90 minutes is great. I love it. And you get to get a little bit more context, a little bit more color. And I think it's really benefited the season. I think, I mean, I would have loved to see 90 minutes on 44, on 43, et cetera. It's just, and maybe we'll get that, hopefully, fingers crossed, that we get that going forward. Because, yeah, Emily was a special person that is a special person. And it's been a whirlwind for her because I saw her exit interview and she was – I think it was with Entertainment Weekly or People, whoever does that. But she was like, this has been a whirlwind because, you know, she was relatively unknown, like we all are when we first get on the show. And then, you know, I was in Anchorage, Alaska last week, going down the escalator at the airport, and this big burly dude was coming up the escalator and, you know, just kind of looked over at him. He was like, Gabler. And I'm like,
did you high five on your way up and down?
We were too far apart, but we just got to do, you know, and it was like, it's just super amazing because the only people that recognize us is like Survivor fans. And we are all Survivor fans. It's just once in a while, someone gets lucky enough to be on the show, but I'm a Survivor fan. You're a Survivor fan. And once in a while, a fan gets to be on the show. And I think that's what's really special about Survivor because, you know, it's really flat. You know, like I could never be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That's not going to happen. But I could play Survivor again. You know, you never know. So, and you never know. You guys are much younger than me. Maybe when you guys are 50, you guys will be on the show. You never know.
That's what we're going for. See, I don't know what the math is on that, Phil. Season
one. That's a lot of seasons for that's I mean, it's not as many seasons away as I hoped it would be, but it's still a lot. I want to bring up this confessional account thing because you just mentioned it with the 90-minute episodes and all of that. And I mean, Gabler, as I always say, and it's not because you're here and because we've interviewed the most people from your season 43 is my favorite of the new era. I thought it was the most fun. It was unpredictable. I really enjoyed the dynamics of everything that was going on. Unpopular opinion. I've been fought many a times on the internet for it, but
it's your opinion and it's just fine. Yes,
and
sir.
It's the correct one, right? It's the correct one. But
I agree.
I sit here and I look at this and I just want people to really understand the gravity of 90 minutes. The highest amount of confessionals on your season was Jesse with 60. Okay. Jesse had 60 and then Carla had 56. Owen had 55 and Cody had 52, you had 46. So you're top five, but that's where it was. Emily just went home at final seven with 62 confessionals. So already more than anybody from your season, Drew has 56, Keturah has 53, Austin has 51, D has 42, Jake has 41, Julia has 35. Almost everybody is going to top the entire final three from your season because 90-minute episodes are just that full. And that's huge.
That's an excellent analysis. I've never heard that before. And I think that's pretty impactful when you look at the numbers.
And every person who's gone home so far, I feel like I understand it. And I also, I mean, Emily was sort of the pinnacle of this, but I'm sad because I feel like I know everyone so much better too. And now, especially with this final six, we sort of understand everyone's motivations. We understand everyone's backstory and that it feels very level, which I really like.
I would agree. I think that's right. You know, people, it's a very interesting game. And this season's been a very interesting season. 45 is, I mean, I've talked about this with some friends of mine and family. We're big Survivor people, obviously. And, you know, it's like a little bit of an old school throwback in some ways, right? It's like the way that the big votes, the herd is one big movement. And there's kind of like, you know, just some of the ways they're playing are taking a page out of, you know, 15, 20 seasons ago. And it's working. It's good. I'm loving the show, but it's a very interesting way they're playing. And it's less subtle, which is, I think that's entertaining. I'm not sure how effective some of that will be in the long run, because that threat level, that alligatoring threat level is legit.
No one's following it.
Yeah. Yeah. That they're all out of the water chomping. They're all out of the water chomping. But it's working, it's looking good. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. I can't wait to see this weekend. And then next week, are you guys going to LA?
We are not.
No, I wish.
Okay. You're on the East Coast. It's a little harder. Yeah.
It's tough around Christmas time too. Are you going?
I'm going. Yeah. We're going to the LA, the Bryson Wynn event in LA on the 20th. I believe that's the 20th.
It is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I used to live in LA, so I'd go to all the stuff. But now that I'm in Florida, LAX is the worst airport of all time, especially at Christmas season. And I had to walk 3 miles to the airport because my wife could not get me to the terminal. So I had to walk 3 miles. Like, I'm not joking, because I was going to miss my plane. And so I really hate LAX around Christmas time. So I refuse to go.
You'll be fine.
But I've got a direct from Boise, so I'm in decent shape. So I figure I can get there. It's not that far for me, but the first big event I went to, the Bryson Wynn event, we went to one in Seattle that was amazing. But then we went to the 45 finale where we ran into each other, and a 44 finale. And that was amazing. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that, where there's all these fanatical Survivor fans like myself. And then every once in a while you turn around and you're like, oh my gosh, that's Christy. There's Mike. There's like all these people. And it's just super, super. And, Evie was there. There's so many people that turn out to these things. And it's just super fun. It's really fun.
They've really done such a good job with these events. They're so much fun. I bet the LA finale is going to be a blast.
Mm-hmm. I think so. It should be really good.
Yeah. And there's so many survivors who live out in LA that maybe won't travel out to the East Coast ones, but will go to all the West Coast. And it's fun. It really is. And the Bryson Wendell events are a fantastic time. And I highly recommend. I didn't actually recap the last episode because I was at the Johnny Fairplay event that he did down in Florida.
I haven't met him yet.
You haven't met him?
He's a hoot.
Johnny Fairplay is great.
I'm sure.
He's great. And he doesn't like it when I say that he's a nice guy. He thinks that's a stupid thing for me to say. But he was there, Dr. Mike was there, and Albert from 23 was there. And it was fun. And I got to meet a couple of fans of the podcast. And it's just fun because, like, you get a guy who comes up to you and he's like, hey, I came to this because you said on your podcast to come to this. And that was Nick. And I was like, man, that's kind of wild that you're actually listening and want to go to these things. But as Gabler is saying here, could not highly recommend going to these enough, because you are going to just bump into people. And Gabler had a line out the door into the streets of New York City to talk to him. So, just waiting it, though.
It was so much fun, And that's one thing I have talked to some of the players right now, 45. All of them, we've texted on Instagram or messaged each other at some point. But it's like, listen to all the love and just ignore the noise. But
exactly.
there's plenty of both out there, and just focus on the good stuff. And, that's one of the things about our Survivor community. We're all just big fans of the show. We love what Survivor is about, which is the triumph of the human spirit and, overcoming adversity, changing how you growing as a person. And, that's what always drew me to the show and continues to draw me to the show. And meeting Jeff was also super fun as a fan, right? Cause you meet Jeff and he's a extremely nice person. He's exactly like you think he is. Exactly. Yeah. He's really nice. He's the number one fan of Survivor, which is why if you're not doing well, it's really weird, Alexa, when you're like untying knots and you're the last one to be doing it. And he's like, Alexa, having trouble with the knots. I'm not sure if she's going to be in the hurt. Yeah. And you're like 10 feet away going like, dude, I'm hurrying.
I know. I was actually going to ask, were you ever the butt of his challenge criticism? I can't remember.
A couple times. I finagled myself into that spot. a few times out there. Yeah. A few times. And one time on the grip challenge one, there was a two-part challenge. I was with Owen in the beginning and we would overcome the obstacle course and stuff. Coming out of the mud, I was turning around just as fast as I could. And And I missed Jeff by like that much. And that would have been extremely embarrassing to collide with Jeff of all people on the show. But he's a good sport. He's super in good shape. He's in like phenomenal shape. So he probably would have knocked me over, actually.
Yeah.
He's like running around during all these challenges. He's got to be in good shape.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's a tremendous person. Really, really happy to have gotten to meet him. He's like one of the, you know, he's the Survivor grandfather. That's him.
Hey, he's the Survivor. He's the Survivor teen still. Don't tell him he's over 60 yet. Okay, Gabler.
Oh yeah.
I think I always think about how he defeated that wave in that one challenge. I forget what season it was, where the wave came in and hit him so hard, he almost fell over, but he maintained his balance. And I was very impressed. And I said, you know what? Jeff still got it. While you're talking about good people, before we get into the actual episode and Julie's move from last week and how we think it's going to impact moving forward. Today was a pretty monumental day for Gabler and season 43. So if you haven't seen yet, the $1 million has been given to charity. So why don't you talk a little bit about, yeah, there you go. You get to dish it out. Why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, how that all went and just that thought process and everything and really let people know that it takes a year for this stuff to go down when you win your money on Survivor.
Most exactly a year.
Yeah,
that was our goal, is to have it completely distributed within before the finale of 45, which we just beat that. So, you know, before the show started, I was joking around with a roommate, college roommate of mine, and he was in the Army. And, you know, of course, his good friend's dude is like, well, you're not going to be able to win this thing. You know, like, of course
you got to have a driver, you know.
But if I do, you know, and then my wife was there and we were like, you know, we've been blessed. I mean, I just got off work, so I mean, I'm still working. I've got kids in college, house payment. Money's always good. But to have an adventure as big as Survivor and, you know, my favorite show, and to be on that, and then to go through all that, meet the amazing people on all the other castaways, and they are all fantastic human beings, that was priceless. So to be able to do something good with the money was themed very natural. And when we started talking about it, as soon as we mentioned veterans, it was like a key in a door lock. It just opened. And we're like, that's it. That's what we're doing. I have a military family. I have a lot of friends from high school that were in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I never served. I'm not a veteran, never the honor of serving, but it's, you know, my honor to serve those who served us. And to be able to do the show I love and then come out and do something important with it, like trying to combat PTS, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, suicide. On average in the United States, 22 veterans a day take their own lives. And that is a staggering statistic since we've been at war for over 20 years. And, you know, my granddad always said, you know, talk is cheap, takes money to buy whiskey. So I figured I'd put my money where my mouth is. And we spent the last, so when we won Survivor, I show up at the airport. I'm 30 pounds lighter than I am, 25 pounds lighter than I am now. I was super skinny. My wife looks at me and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, how'd you do? She signed all the papers I did so I could tell her. Like, and I'm like, we won. And I hope you're okay with what we talked about, because I did that too.
We still on this?
that was the plan, right? No, yeah. She was great with that. And so then she had a brilliant idea. We hired an accountant and a lawyer so we don't get in any Richard Hatch tax trouble. And we created this thing called a donor advised fund where once, this is in June, July, August, and that cost about $25,000. But when we got the check on December 14th last year, all of that money got to roll right into the DAF, the donor advised fund, without any taxes. And as long as everything went to a 501(c) charity, which is what we did, I couldn't even get a cup of coffee with it. But we found some amazing organizations doing wonderful things for veterans and people and just doing great stuff. And we just finished that last payment on Friday, and I announced it today that we did. So that $1 million is doing good work across the country, helping out all kinds of folks who need that help. And I'm just feel so blessed and grateful to Survivor, to CBS, to all the fans. and most especially to our veterans who do so much for us. And just to be able to give back was really important to me.
And especially for this to have this like genesis to have come even before you went out there. I think that's such an incredible driver. And I think, you know, I saw the list and it's spread to so many different organizations too, which I think is a really, I don't know if that was like the plan from the beginning or if that sort of evolved, but I think like you mentioned, there's a handful of different angles that you went with it. And I think that's really special too, to show how far this $1 million can go.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And, you know, it was one of those things that did drive me because knowing, you know, you can do a lot for yourself, but you can do exponentially more if it's for somebody else. I mean, you know, if I put a, you mentioned your wife earlier, Phil, if I put a flame underneath your hand and you'd go, ouch, and move it. But if that was to take care of your wife or prevent something, whatever, cure cancer, you would hold right there and you could do it. And Viktor Frankl, who's a Holocaust survivor, he's passed now. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning after he got out of Auschwitz. And he was a psychologist going into the war, but he was captured by the Nazis and narrowly escaped with his life. And they took his thesis, they took his wedding ring, they took everything, but they couldn't take his heart, couldn't take his soul. And he wrote this theory called logotherapy, which is man can survive anything if they can find meaning in their man, woman can find meaning in their suffering. And there's a lot to that. And that was one of the things that kind of helped drive me, even like the grip challenge when I was doing a minute for different people and doing stuff. I mean, I was getting stronger by the minute out there. It was like the energy was coming in. I was, you know, tapping into heroes and loved ones and the power just kind of kept going. And I think that's really, that only Survivor brings that out really. It's really exciting about that, you know?
Yeah. I've been doing this podcast now since season 30, season 29. We did the last couple episodes, pretty much in season 30. And when my grandpa was alive, he'd be like, oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's nice. He passed away a couple years ago, but he was an Air Force veteran. And this probably would have been the only time he would have actually texted me about Survivor. So I thought of him when you said that on the live thing. My mom texted me right away and was like, uh-oh, you know, like, cause that's her like way of being like, I'm about to start sobbing. So, you know, it's one of those things where, I think a lot of people are affected by it in a lot of ways that you don't even realize all the time, you know? So it's awesome. And I'm glad it all went off and I'm glad, you know, when you said it and I think everybody's jaw dropped and it's awesome that now a year later, we're seeing the effects. And really for you, what is it? A year and a half later at this point, right? I mean, yeah, this has been, you said those words so long ago, it must feel like a dream at this point. So.
Yeah, it does. And you know, some of the other charities that we did, like, you know, so obviously on the island, I met Noelle, Noelle Lambert. She's the girl with the prosthetic leg. She's the Paralympian. She'll be running for the United States this August in Paris with, she's gonna do the 100 meters and the long jump, but she's got an amazing, so when I was trying to figure out whether I do I create a foundation that people can give to or a fund that I will liquidate and send to foundations and organizations that are doing good, I called Noelle because she has a foundation, the Born to Run Foundation, helping people that can't afford prosthetic legs to get them. And I was just talking to Noelle about, you know, how do you do this? You got a foundation and I have a day job. Well, we all know I work in the hospital, so I'm pretty busy. And I didn't have the bandwidth to do a foundation. Plus, there's so many great organizations out there, I didn't need to. But while she was talking about her organization, she was telling me about this one little boy that was born without any legs. And, you know, he was struggling to, you know, he showed me a picture of him playing soccer on his bum, you know, just with his hands, with his kids on the street. And I was like, well, how much to get some badass blades like you have for this kid? She's like, about $10,000. And I'm like, and Noelle's a superstar, right? We know that. That's why we had to vote her out, actually. She's fantastic. But she was, you know, I'm like, this is somebody that's going to do good with this money. So we made a donation to the Born to Run Foundation, got that little boy some legs, and there's him on some blades walking that is just, I mean, if you don't think you're cutting onions now, wait till you see that. it's a hot mess. But and then also on the show, when I was watching back season 43, I saw Nneka Ejiri's story. You know, she's the Nigerian, like American now, but she was from Nigeria. And her goal, if she won, was to, she wanted to sponsor an orphanage for girls in Nigeria to build a school, clean food, clean water, textbooks, and uniforms. And how can you not let that happen too? So yeah. Nneka is a superstar. So we donated to her charity as well. And then the other one that was non-veteran was Give Kids the World, which are children with serious afflictions that are struggling through with their parents. And, you know, any kid that's gone through, you know, whether it's cancer, heart disease, whatever it is, brain surgery, whatever they've had, those families have had a lot of pressure on them. And to have a place to go to Give Kids the World, they have a free amusement park like a Disneyland that the families will get a full week there. And they have everything set up, which is, you know, accessible for wheelchairs, for whatever else. And that's another beautiful organization. How can you not help those folks too? So there's so many. I think the answer is I just got to get back and play again.
That's it.
A lot of money. I got to get some more.
Too many organizations. You got to do the rounds.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
so
incredible.
Well, on that note, now that you got everybody crying, Alexa's over. I'll hold it together for now, but on the inside, no, I'm losing it. I always tell everybody I don't cry, but my wife would say otherwise. Let's make the shift. It's like, oh, it's always weird to make the shift after all that, right? But let's make the shift to season 45 and let's talk about last week's episode and the move that was and how this is going to impact the game moving forward. So what we all learned was that Austin never specified to Julie that this was meant to be a temporary idol handed over. He gave it to her. And Julie said, great, that's mine. And Austin said, I can't ask for it back. If I do, that's going to look sketchy. So what happens? They all decide to go after Julie. D doesn't want Julie to go home. She goes and tells Julie, also tells Julie that Austin is her number one. So what does Julie do? She plays her idol correctly. And instead of getting rid of her number one's number one, she gets rid of Emily and lets D's number one stay in the game. Best move probably of the season to this point. Huge moment. Was it the right move from Julie Gabler in your estimation?
In my opinion, no. I think with all due respect, she should have gone, you know, you got to break, to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. And I think she would have been well advised to take out Austin, and that would have raised her threat level. But the next person on the chopping block probably would have been D, because, you know, next, and then you go where it's Drew, Caleb, Keturah, somebody makes fire. Then you go to your final three. I think Julie with Austin out, not only is Austin a great mental player and social player, he's a fantastic physical player. And Julie is also a fantastic physical player, but Austin's going to be in the mix with her on the next challenge. So that would have been an opportunity for her that I think would have basically gotten her down to the final tribal. I think it would have, but yeah, she would have had to make, you know, do things with D, but there's a power couple right now, which is another old school thing, because normally that is completely, as soon as people realize there's two people that are liking each other, somebody usually goes, but that's in the new era. But this is one where they literally could be sitting next to each other at final tribal. If, we'll see how it goes, but it could happen.
I think Austin might be wearing an I Heart D shirt in the finale. Like, they had the whole comedy and everything going on. She's saving his life. Yeah, I think that's what that's 45 feels so old school, like you said, and this feels like why. Like, we have a show. Maybe they're hiding it well, but I think Kendra said she noticed it a few weeks
ago.
I think it's known.
You're around each other all the time. You would pick up on there's just with a little bit we see on TV, it looks flirty enough, and then you know that there's, you know, you can see they're a beautiful couple. I hope they're still dating. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out in LA.
Yeah,
exactly.
For all the cutesy stuff that was in there about Survivor All-Stars, which made me want to just hide underneath the bridge forever. I hate All-Stars so much. It was, you know, that there's other things. Who knows what else is being said that isn't making the cut for the show. So I'm excited for whatever D and Austin's relationship is going to be. I mean, Franny and Matt are still going strong based on New Orleans photos. So
sure are.
maybe we're going to get the same here.
And even Todd from was it Survivor China? Yeah, China. Yeah. Herzog, who makes these little guys.
Oh, my God, I love that.
There it is. There's Monty. There's an alligator on there somewhere.
That's awesome. So
he made one for those two that's both of them together.
I love it.
That's adorable. Just like
buy them as a pair. You don't buy that one as a single.
I got to get Todd to make me one of those.
Phil, you got to get on the show.
Yeah, he's yeah. Great for
it. No, I don't have to get on. I want him to make me one. Just make me one. No, it's a Franny and Matt. I don't want it of myself. So yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Gabler. I don't think it was the right move. And here's my reason why. I really am concerned that by Julie making this move, they were already saying she's a threat to win because she's the mama. So maybe this cast has never seen Survivor before because the mama never wins. But that's what they've been saying. So that's the truth, right? If they all think it's the truth on the island. And now Julie makes this move. D still has her number one. Mm-hmm. Drew just lost Emily, so now he's a little concerned. Keturah and Jake are pretty much drawing dead at this point. Maybe they could win, but I feel like at this point they haven't really been a part of any moves. You saw that on your season where Owen just kept hitting his head against the wall and couldn't get anything to work. And now Julie is the biggest threat without a doubt, 100%.
Oh yeah,
in this game, because if she sits at final three, she single-handedly voted Emily out of the game, has had the best idol play of the season. And if she gets to final three, it's going to be because she earned her way there. It's not going to be because Drew or Austin or D took her. She earned enough of her place there. If they let her make fire, maybe she makes fire. Who knows? Yeah. But now she doesn't have an idol. And while she's been close in these challenges, Gabler, you hit it on the head for me. Yeah. The best challenge performer stayed in the game.
Yeah.
Had she gotten rid of Austin and kept Emily, Julie might be the best challenge performer remaining in the game.
I think she would be. Her and Dee are close, but
yeah,
there are certain things that Julie was able to do. I mean, Julie's been close. If it wasn't for Bruce being a little bit stronger on that one, that was hers. And I think now Julie's in that precarious spot because – going into, you know, there's six of them left. Austin and D are together, so that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Drew's probably – maybe they're going to target Drew. Drew's pretty smart. He's got an advantage in his pocket still. And is he going to be able to pull in Jake? He's kind of made amends with Jake because they were a little bit at odds a few weeks ago. But then, you know, Jake brought him to the reward, and I think they buried that hatchet. Keturah's really emerging as a player. She's really coming into her own. Maybe she's been all along, but we've only seen it more recently. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, you know, Julie right there. Are they going to be able to flip that around? I don't know. I think unless Julie wins immunity, I got to think that, or unless Drew can pull something, it could be her. D is probably in the most powerful position right now because she has two number ones and probably a third, even, you know, you just never know. Could Keturah be with her? I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah. And so far everything D has said has gone, and that's dangerous, right? Like if she's been playing the game and she's been okay as being the threat. And I thought there was a really important line last week in that episode of Drew saying, well, D's threat level has lowered a bit. And I'm sitting there going, it doesn't feel like that to me, but that might be a page right out of your book right there, right? Because
yeah, she just came up
right down. How do you think that she's going to play it in this episode now, though? How are we going to see this play? Because Austin has to be thinking D spoiled this, right? I mean, D was doing a great job acting, but who else would have told Julie?
Yeah, but I think he'll find that out. But, you know, if D wants to be sitting at final three with Austin and Julie – next to her, that's admirable. It's a strategy to go with, but I think she would be better off having, you know, Jake and Keturah, or having, you know, or having Julie having Jake and Keturah with there. I mean, who knows what happens in the next few days, but that could be very, I think that would be better than having those three up there because, you know, when you get to Final Tribal Council, though, everybody's got a story. but can you stick the landing? You know, because that's part of it. Yeah. You know, you got to be able to get in there. And I think like Emily, let's go back to Emily for a second. So Emily pulls off this brilliant move, very skillful move, and gets Bruce out, right? Mm-hmm. And she came back, and I think, you know, you sometimes you feel like you're on the bottom, and it's a lonely place to be. Because, you know, I was there for a couple votes as well, and I'm kind of like, I'm just kind of flotsam and jetsam. I'm just kind of not trying to get stuck with the edge. I'm just trying to weave away until I can get a little bit more power, and then I can move, make some moves. But when you're down low like that and you do something big, you really have to control the urge to tell people. And I think Emily, she got two bits of bad luck last week, where one, she came back and they were all talking about, you know, getting Bruce out. And instead of being quiet and holding that secret for a few more days, she was like, oh, that was me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And everyone's like, whoa, it was you. Because then they realized it was her. And they're like, damn, that's dangerous. And then when she drew the green rock, I think she would have been better off handing it over to Jake to go on the journey, because she is very good socially, and her ability to work and weave in the social setting on the island versus being alone on a very important day while things are brewing. I think she would have, I think she'd still be here today if she didn't get that journey.
Yeah. And it's, I think she said she didn't even want it. It seemed like one of those situations where this probably happened on your season too, but when there's something like you either have to pick teams or you have to do something random, everyone said, let's get in on it, even though I know Emily didn't want it. And Jake did want it. So, but it's sort of like, you don't want to go against the grain too much. You don't want to be against the group. It's tough.
You're exactly right. It's almost like that inertia is pushing you or sucking you into this decision, because if you don't do it, you look like you're not playing hard enough. Mm-hmm. But that's, and now, and also these folks are sleep and food and water, every deprivation you can imagine. It's been, you know, 21 days, I think, for them last week. So they're not in their full mental capacity because they haven't eaten in a long time. And I remember it was hard to keep thoughts straight in my head towards the end of it, because, you know, you're just sitting there like, I remember, so the last day of our season, when they brought us that brunch, which they brought it pretty late, by the way, and I was almost like, oh, my God.
They're like, if you wake up, where is it?
If we don't get this thing today, I'm going to be – I don't know what I'm going to do. So the food came in. I ate as much as I could, drank a bunch of, you know, orange juice, maybe a little bit of mimosas in there. And then I went and laid down and just digested all that and took a nap, because the best thing I could do – was get my brain and body back. And when I woke up after like an hour or so, actually it wasn't like total sleep here because there are bugs on you and stuff, but you're kind of resting and digesting like a big snake. And then when I was done, I was like, you could feel it. You're like, I'm back. It's here. I'm ready. And you know, you can start, then you start thinking about what you're going to say in your story. And you know, everybody's got an interesting story to tell. It's how you tell it. And obviously it has to be real too, because when you're talking to people, like if I say, hey, Phil, remember when we were doing this, or Alexa, we did that. If it's not real, then, you know, you're in trouble. But if people are like nodding, like, yeah, that's right, we did that together or whatever. So like, I kept a lot of my secrets until the end, because it didn't benefit me until the very end. And I think Emily, with her saving that important nugget and others that she had, and waiting until the right time that would benefit her game would have helped her. But I totally understand. I empathize with her, because you're excited to say, hey, look, I am playing this. I'm right up here with you guys. It's just, you know, there's a risk to that.
It makes sense that you want people to know your moves. But also, it's more important that the jury knows your moves when they need to know it than everybody around you. Because as soon as that happened, they were all hugging her. They're all proud. It's all exciting. You know, everybody was on the get Bruce out of this game train.
Yes.
But man, Julie's immediate confessional after that was, this girl's playing. There is something wrong here. And I think that was Emily's game all along, was she was such an underdog at the beginning. She was so on the outs. That by the time she got herself in, she always felt like she had to prove herself a little bit. And I think I think this was one time where, you know, you proved yourself, but worry about that later. I mean, everybody, most of the Survivor community couldn't believe that your main argument at Final Tribal was you got Ellie out when you wanted Ellie. At least that's what we saw. It might not be the only thing we're talking about, but that's what we heard. And you really focused in on how important that was to you, your game, when it was important to tell everybody how important it was to your game. And I think Emily, there was a little bit of a slip, and in the moment, everybody was cheering. It was so exciting. Bruce was gone. Katara couldn't wait to celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
15 confessionals in. And Emily, I think, just got caught up in that moment. And it was
100%. It was, you know, ego, excitement, a few things, and, you know, got going there. I remember the Ellie, I waited about 10 days before I could drop that truth grenade at our merge feast. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was waiting, because I'm like, I can't say this until the right time. Because you know, when you go for somebody, it's real important that you get them if you can. And the only person that I didn't get on the first run was Ryan, the big man, Ryan Medrano. By the way, you know, Ryan's story. So Ryan, I didn't know this on the show until almost to the very end of the show when we were on the island together, because we used to go fishing together a lot. And he's a tremendous person. He's such an amazing man. He just had a baby, little son named Atlas, because, you know,
great
he's
name.
A big, great name, that. Right? And because of Survivor and Noel, and he was born with a cerebral palsy. And Ryan wasn't even supposed to walk, but his mother made sure that he was going to get all the right care he could get. And now he's an adult. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's just like as built up as you get. And he's going to be competing in the Paris special, the Paralympics as well, in the 100 meters. And look for him to medal, because that guy is an absolute beast. And he'll be competing with Noel for the United States in Paris this summer.
Just oh my gosh. Awesome. Look at I know that had they not met, that might not have happened.
They would not have happened. It's right. It's like, you know, Survivor's the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, they do a nice job of bringing wonderful people onto the show. And, you know, you spend a lot of time together and you bond and whatnot. So that's been really awesome. But I think that's also, you watch these relationships and even, you know, Emily was talking about it in her exit interview. She's like, you know, it's kind of crazy. It's like a month and I'm really close with these people. And Owen and I, who were together from the first minute of the show until the last minute of the show, we did the math. We spent like a total of like 800 and something hours together, which is like a 3-day weekend once a month for 10 years.
That's crazy.
Dang. That's a good friend. That's like a dear friend.
Owen is a dear. He is a dear friend. Him and his fiance Sammy came and we went whitewater rafting up here in Idaho this summer. Had a great time. He is a dear friend. He's a terrific person. He slept next to me on the Survivor on our little ramshackle bed thing we had. And I move around a lot at night, especially if there's bugs. You know, I'm kind of twitchy and whatever. So I would kick him a lot. And I was like, man, you are just the most sound sleeper I have ever heard. Because, you know, I think I kicked you last night. He's like, yeah, like 20 times. I'm like, oh, okay. You're just nice. Okay, you're nice. Okay.
And now we understand why Owen couldn't stand Gabler for most of the season. Thank you, Gabler. Now,
for sure.
It's so easy to understand now. So jumping back in here with this. So now we are at the final six, though. Reba has the four. And we are down to just Katara and Jake on the other side. The Lulu tribe that was the disaster of all disasters is gone, and they no longer exist. Are we thinking that we are going to get multiple Rebas at Final Tribal Council, or do you think it's going to be one Reba with Katara and Jake? Do you think that they're fighting to keep Katara and Jake with them at this point, or do you think they still want to get rid of Katara and Jake, knowing that they could very easily lose to each other? They could lose to Katara and Jake still, but.
Right. That's true, all of those. I think that they're – tomorrow night's going to be extremely telling on what they do. I think that Julie is going to have to make a move. She's going to have to show herself or she's going to be gone. I think that's what's going to – she's going to make a decisive decision, because I think if D's got two number ones – there's really a number one and a very close number two.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's Austin, then Julie on there. So Julie's got to look at that and say, am I more important to D than Austin is? And if as Jeff says, trust your gut. And if your gut's telling you probably not, you got to make a move for your own survival. And I think that, you know, Drew is a very smart player and very smart person. He's young, but he's very smart. Keturah, the more I see her, the more I like her. Mm-hmm. Jake, same with him. These are people that are very clever, very smart. They've been in this a long time, not just by accident. They've earned to get to there. If those two guys are walking around my camp, meaning Keturah and Jake, I'm going to find them. I'm going to find them and try to lock them as part of my thing as I take shots at the bigger threats. Mm-hmm. And Drew, I think the swords are going to be out with Drew and D and Julie. So when there's those three big cracks, and maybe it's Julie and Austin, I don't know, but there's going to be big cracks available. And you've got Keturah and Jake right there ready to go with any direction because they don't want to be them either. This will be a very pivotal episode coming up. And we'll have a really good idea who will probably be sitting final three after we get to the final five, because it's going to be, I think they've got to break up Reba though. I think they need to break him up. If they don't, it could be old school wise. They started old school. They've been old school. Maybe they'll finish old school and they'll have those three amigos at the end, which will be a fiery, fantastic tribal council. So win.
There would be something satisfying about there being three Rebas, because they not that they have all played the same game, but I always think it's interesting when people from the same alliance try to distinguish themselves. But I've been saying this for a month, so I could be wrong. This feels like a week where one of the Rebas goes home, because now there's a fraction, even though none of them went home. Now they don't like each other.
Well, so let's put this to the test now then. So since we're 46 minutes in, we might as well start ranking them, right? Gabler, who do you have as the safest person this week? Not going home.
Okay, I'm going to, based on my instincts that I think Julie knows that she needs to make a move on Austin, I'm ranking her higher because I do believe that D is running the show. But I'm going to put Julie as my number one right now. I'm putting D as my number two. Austin as my number three. Drew number four. Keturah number five. And Jake number six, in that order. If Julie somehow doesn't – if she can't take out Austin or D, then it's probably going to be her. So it's like I'm putting somebody up there, but I've got two lists, and you can almost flip them. If somebody goes a different way, it could go that way. How about you, Alexa? What is your power ranking and why?
Yeah, that's with Julie. That's like, it's like high risk, high reward. She knows she's there. I actually think Austin might be the safest one, because he's the only one with an idol. And I think now he's scared now. I know Jake said like 2 months ago, Austin's scared. I think now he's actually probably a little scared. Yeah. But we were just saying, between the Julie, D, and Drew, there's probably, that seems to be where the most tension is going to be. I think Austin, he might get away with the fact that he leaked this plan to D. I don't know if he will. I think it seems like everyone figured it out. But I think he has his own protection. And also, for what it's worth, I think D is going to protect him too. I agree with you. I think D is probably in the best position. From the top, I'll probably say Austin, D, Julie, Keturah, Jake, Drew.
Man, I think Drew is 100 miles an hour.
No, Phil, I hear you like going in the back.
But doesn't Drew still have his safe?
It's no good. It ended at final 11 or something like that.
Very unceremoniously, it happened.
They never even mentioned that it no longer existed. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a bummer. I actually love that advantage. I think it's very, you have to be really creative with it.
I think they did a great. I love the advantages this season. I really thought they were, and the they weren't trying to be too smart. You know, sometimes they're too clever, and you're like, it's just, you know. These all were very interesting, and they did help us out with the gameplay and stuff. But sorry, I digress. Phil, tell us your stat ranking.
So Austin has to be number one this week, in my opinion, because of the sole reason that he told us last week his idol's only good till final six. I guess he wasn't allowed to transfer the amulet idol, which we have seen in the past. People aren't allowed to do it. I think that was the one that Sarah had that was similar, where it was like the continuation advantage or whatever. But you could, he couldn't transfer that one. So the only way to protect Julie was to give her the final five idol. So the idol he has is no good after tonight. I think after how poorly last week went for him, and the fact that he's not going to be sure if he can trust D, he's not going to be sure if he can trust Drew, he's going to be a little bit all over the place. I don't think there's any way if he loses immunity, he doesn't play that idol.
Yeah.
So I think he has to be number one. After that, it gets a little bit tricky, and I am now going to just jump all in on the fact that if you're Reba and you get to the final tribal and you're sitting there and you have three other Rebas sitting on the jury, you get three votes, and you know you get three votes. Those three people are going to vote for you if there are no other Rebas sitting next to you. Austin, D, Julie, Drew, they've all been through this for too long at this point. They've built too serious of bonds to say,
yes,
well,
they all of them are well-liked.
Yeah, and you screwed me at this point. I'm not going to vote for you. I think it's too late in the game. I think they understand it. I think they're too in. So I'm actually going to do the unthinkable and say Jake is my number two.
Jake, staying on by.
I am going to put Keturra at three. And then I'm going to put D at four. And I am going to say that Julie does not win immunity this week. And there is no way in hell these players let the most dangerous player in the game get to final five and be within one vote of getting to make fire. I don't think there's any way in hell. So I'm putting Drew at five, and I'm putting Julie, who is Gabler's number one. I'm putting her at number six. And I do want to say this, just so I can say, in case Julie goes home this week, Adam Klein 2 weeks ago put Bruce at number one. Last week, Brett LaBelle put Emily at number one. Gabler, can you make it the trifecta here? 3 weeks in a row of the number one person from our guest picker going home.
It is possible. She's smart. She's strong. She's well connected. I think she's got to know, because she put herself in this kind of predicament by not going Austin last week. So now she's got her back to the wall. I think if she can get Drew and Keturra, maybe Jake, to take out Austin, I think Austin goes. But he's going to play his idol, of course, what if he won the immunity and then can he give his amulet to D at that point?
I don't think he can give it. So maybe he can
give his necklace to her.
Yeah.
And then they would go through, and then it would be – okay, so then if you're Julie, maybe you start a rumbling about Drew, and you get real, emotional with D and Austin and say, look, Austin, you wrote my name down last time. I spared you. I need you to get Drew out now. Reba three, getting to the end. That's what I think she'll be doing, because Drew's he's the threat guy, the wild card who could – he gets to the very end. Who knows what goes on with him? And, I think that could be it. But Julie's got – she's got a lot of work cut out for her, a lot of wood to chop this week because of the way she went last week. I think she's going to have her work cut out for her.
So what do you all think – and, Alexa, I'll open it to you since I know you're about to speak there. Sorry. what do you think – D is going to say when she comes back? Because obviously it's going to be, how did Julie catch wind of this? Do you think D will say, or Julie's going to say, like, why, what is Julie's reason going to be for that? She knew she had to play the idol. Is she going to throw D under the bus? Do you think she'll say, oh, Emily told me, Austin, that's why I had to do it. Sorry. What do you think her reasoning is going to be?
I think the Reba 4, their whole thing has been honesty and loyalty, which is, again, really cool because it's so uncommon in recent seasons. So I feel like they almost don't know how to lie to each other. I think it will come out, especially because D and Austin are so close. D told Julie to her face that Austin was her number one. That's about as honest as you're going to get, when you probably should not have said that to someone who thinks you're their number one. So all that to say, I think it will come very clean. I think the tension will probably be between Drew and Austin, because that's where this all began. Austin was sort of the beginning of this domino fall. That's part of why I think Drew is in trouble. But Julie, I think Julie, to your point, Gable, I think Julie has her work cut out for her. I think she might win immunity. Not that she's due for one, but she's gotten in second place for the past month, you know?
I know. I feel it too. I think, Alexa, that's an awesome take. And I think that there's something about Julie that just doesn't – I just can't bet against her right now. I can't bet against her. She's just – she keeps doing things that are – you know, she's got it and she's this close. I think, you know, she'll have to – last week taking Austin out would have been a wrecking ball, but it would have been – it would have set her up, I think, quite well, because this – if she took Austin out last week, Drew and D would be on the block this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that helps that would help Julie out as well. Cause you know, get one out 1 week and then one early, and then you go at the end and battle it out with Jake and Keturah. Cause you know, everybody's a good talker. Everybody's a good talker this season. So we're gonna have I think we should have a master class on Final Tribal, I'm expecting, because if you get Keturah there, Drew, any of the ones that are left can talk, so that they've got stories, and I believe they'll tell them.
Yeah,
those three lawyers up there, all three of those lawyers in the final three.
That's right. That's right. Even though they only know there's one, but you're totally right.
That would be amazing if all three of the lawyers somehow to get the final three. But you know, I think what's impressive about Julie and Gabler. So you came into the game when you played. Older guy, you even talked about, you know, you knew that the only person to win older than you was Bob, right? You knew that coming in. And so you know what the thought process is when people see an older player. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. They, as soon as they see an older player, it's, okay, are they going to be a liability? That's the immediate first thought. Then it's, are they going to annoy me? Then it's this and it's that. And I think what's impressive about what Julie has done is, other than Janet Carbon, I can't think of another player who has gone out there and been the oldest person on the season. Maybe she's second oldest behind Bruce, but I think she might have been the oldest. But been one of the two oldest people on the season and let everybody know, I am actually a threat. And everybody is acknowledging that she is a legitimate threat to win the game. And yet she's still in the game at final six. I don't think that's ever happened other than Janet, where people realized that this person wasn't a goat, wasn't going to be easy to beat, had the best resume, had overcome all that, and yet was still in the game. So kudos to Julie, even if she does go home this week, as I kind of think she will. She's playing a really, really strong game. And last week's move, while I might not agree with it, she was also she was between a rock and a hard place, because if she gets rid of Austin, her idol's gone.
She loses D.
Austin's idol's gone. And now her, Drew, and D, it's 3 versus 3. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that is... that's a tough spot to willingly put yourself in, even if you know that ultimately you'd rather Austin go at that position. Either way, Julie's not coming out looking perfect, right?
It's a dangerous game, as Jeff says. There's no easy pathway, and you know, everything has a cause and an effect. It's a butterfly effect, right, on Survivor. You make one little move this direction, and it'll rock the apple cart, you know, 10 foot down the beach easy. So there's a lot of that happening, but she's done a good job getting ready for this. I think she's got it, but she's going to have to do it. We're down to the nitty gritty now. It is speak now or it's done. They are in the final rolling in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And upset the apple cart.
Never heard that in my life.
You had never heard that.
You never heard that?
You both have heard that?
Oh, yeah. Upset the apple cart is a very, very
I'm from the state that Jake is from. My accent doesn't sound like it is, but I have never in my life heard that phrase. What does it mean?
Just ruin.
Like rock the boat? Norm. Don't rock the boat?
Rock the boat pretty much.
If you get if you turn the apple cart and it starts going, it just... apples go everywhere. It's basically a shit show, right? It's like it just kind of goes. So if you upset the apple cart, it's a big mess. And if she voted for Austin, it would have upset the apple cart, because there would have been cracks. There's a whole scurrying around to try to make things happen at that point. So I think that was it. I thought it was interesting that Keturah had never heard of that, and other you too, Alexa, but maybe it's an older, you know, there's so many sayings that go back a long way that are in our vernacular and they're not, but that's one. Maybe it's in the South. I'm from the South mostly, and it's that was a pretty common saying. Where were you?
Interesting. I'm from Massachusetts, but that's Massachusetts. where Jake's from. So maybe I don't know. Maybe I missed the boat on that.
I'm from New Jersey. Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, and I had heard upset the apple cart.
Maybe it's a generation. I thought when he first said that, I thought she just didn't understand him. And then when he said it again, I was like, oh, she actually doesn't. I didn't realize it was a phrase. I had no idea what he was saying. So
that's funny. And thank God for that generation thing. Alexa, we are the same age, even
Phil,
if I'm older.
6 months older than me.
Yeah, give me a break on a generation thing. My goodness.
Maybe our parents' generation.
It was the way he said it, too. It was like, it's going to upset the apple cart. And I was,
apple cart.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. He seems like a really nice guy.
He is. Yeah. That was funny. I was surprised so many people hadn't heard that phrase, but it seems like a lot of people were in the Katura boat on that. So, hey, that it is what it is. Everybody learned something new by watching Survivor last week. And I guess that's really all you can ask for. Right. So Gabler, who do you think is going to end up winning? This is the second to last episode. Next week is the finale. You're going to be partying in LA. You've already told everyone. Who's going to be the happiest person at that venue?
Well, right now on, let's see, December 11th, going into this, I think Julie's going to pull a rabbit out of her hat this week. And if she gets to fire, I think she's going to go Heidi on everybody and she's going to flame it. And then she's going to be at the final three and she's going to be, I think she's going to be able to do it. But, I'm going to stick with my guns right now. I may get blown up on Wednesday, but I'm going to say that I think Mama Jules is going to pull a rabbit out of the hat and make this happen.
I'd love to see it. That'd be awesome.
And she would be the oldest female winner in Survivor history, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
I believe it is, right? Because Tina, I think, is currently the oldest. Who is the oldest?
And she was like 40, I think.
Season 2.
How old is Mama Jules now? She's
47, right? Okay. I don't know.
Oh, Denise is the oldest. She's the oldest female winner in the show's history, and she was at the time 41.
Okay, so it would be Julie.
It would be Julie. I don't know how old she is, but I know she's older than 41.
Gotcha. Well, she's just a youngin'.
I know. Yeah. Well, I know. By Survivor standards, it's like dog years, unfortunately. I know. But
yeah, I'm 112. Sure you
understand. Yeah. Yeah. Gabler's just hanging on. And according to Alexa, I need to grow out a beard like Gabler's because we aren't in the same generation.
We're separate.
Because I'm going to just start doing all the Gablerisms.
Okay? That's right. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, okay. I know. I'm sure my wife's going to be stoked.
Wear some safety goggles, Phil.
Yeah, I will be wearing safety goggles. That is one thing for sure.
I had an eye patch that I was going to wear last week if I had to.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you got to take it off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, a little chainsaw situation going on last week, but it's all good now.
Yeah. I live in South Florida. We don't cut anything. I don't do anything. Palm fronds fall. That's all that happens. Yeah, I don't do anything. Okay. So the only other thing I wanted to bring up before we let Gabler go has nothing to do with season 45. But there was no way we could go through this episode without bringing up his plans for season 50. Gabler, I want you to share with the world, because this might be the thing that helps our channel go viral. So we are gonna, this is it. What is your plan for season 50 of Survivor?
So this is what I would love to see Jeff do for he's gonna do something big and special. You know, he's gonna do something amazing for 50. 50 is a monumental TV historic, it's going to be huge. So if it's going to be huge, which it is, I want it to be mega huge. And my idea to put this together would be, because Joanna, my wife, is also part of this idea. We were thinking about how can I do for 50? I don't know. Get 5 teams of 10, 50 people, go 50 days for $5 million, and those 5 teams of 10, you'd have one team of first boots, because that would be amazing. One team of past winners, one team over 40, one team under 30, and then one team, whatever Jeff wants to do. But I
game
think,
changers, fan favorites.
Fan favorites would be, I love it. That's an excellent, there you go. We did this together here. And I think that would be, you got fan favorites, first boots, past winners. You've got, I mean, that would be a brawl to go 90 minutes and just have, you know, make that 50 special. It would be amazing. That's what I think would be super fun to watch as a fan. I'm sure Jeff doesn't want to be in the jungle for 50 days. But I think it would be, that would be a heck of a Survivor Super Bowl to see for the 50th episode. I think that would be incredible.
Daryl Seymour says, put Gabler in charge of this right now. So you got at least one, you got at least one person in agreement with you right now, Gabler.
Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate you, buddy.
I love it. I do think, I don't know if we're going to get 50, but my prediction, bold prediction for season 50 is that we will have the biggest cast Survivor's ever had. That is my prediction for season 50. I think they will go above the usual 20 that they would do. And I think they will add more people in, and it might be at the idea of going 30 people for 39 days because they've proven they can do 18 people in 29. So why couldn't you do 30 or 25 or 26, however you got to do it to make it even, in 39 days. So I would not be surprised at all if we see the biggest cast of all time. One can dream that we get 50 and Sekou Bunch goes running out there on the island and we're ready to roll. I hope everybody remembers Sekou and doesn't forget.
Yeah,
Sekou.
That was a real throwback.
It would be super fun. Well, you know what? And one of those teams of tribe, one of those teams of 10 should be new players.
Like, ooh, there you go. So instead of random, you get 10 newbies.
Old group, you know, the past winners, 10. New people, first boots, and then, you know, maybe you do, like you were saying, fan favorites. And then, I mean, I'm partial to the over 40 thing, but whatever.
Yeah, I like the over 40 tribe.
We can compromise that. I'm very immature, so that's, I can move into different categories.
But you can be on the winner tribe already. You already check a box here.
True. There you go.
I'd like an over 40 tribe because you guys get a bad rap, and that's part of why, like, I'm so happy that Julie is doing so well because there is so much like stigma, for lack of a better term, and it's clear that that's not correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's a lot. I mean, me at 22 years old, if I was actually 19, Sammy was 19, he said he was 22. If I was that age, I would not have done half as well as Sammy did, because Sammy,
he was awesome,
is wise beyond his years, really very. But me, I was I'm still kind of a disaster, but I would have been a complete disaster. Maybe I would have won another physical challenge, but no way. The rest of it. But this was one where I think being a little bit older, it did help me in the game. You know, I work in the operating room. I work in a few different hospitals. Every different room is a different culture, right? It's a different tribe in every room that we go in, because, you know, there's different operators, different staff, all the different stuff we do. So for me, I bounce around to these different places, and it I think it's been a good training ground for me for Survivor, because, you know, there's some rooms that are more lighthearted going, some are very serious. It just depends on where we are, and I can do whatever I need to do in there. So that life experience helped me play the game that I was able to play. And, you know, I would love to see that. There's, I mean, folks are doing, I mean, I plan to be doing this for a long time. We're staying in shape for a long time. I've got all kinds of big things going on, but I want to come back when I'm like 60 years old. I want to take a shot when I'm like, I want to be the oldest guy. So maybe I'm 72, 75. We'll figure it out. I can probably still climb a rope at that point.
I love this. You said, what was it? I'm going to play at 50. Gabriel will play at 72, 73, something like that. And we'll be around the same season. So maybe we can get cast on the same season, Gabriel.
Wouldn't that be something, huh?
And here
season
you go.
60 or whatever.
For everybody on season 100 of Survivor, just remember, Gabriel and I have a preseason alliance. So get ready. It's coming.
It's going to be all the kids of Survivor winners.
Yeah, exactly. And me and Gabriel hanging out. Gabler, do you have anything else you want to add in here before we get out of here?
You guys have been amazing. You know, much love to the whole Survivor community. Thank you, Jeff Probst. Thank you, CBS. Thank you, all of our veterans and first responders out there. And, you know, we're in the holiday season. Think about, you know, everybody else out there, and be your best for everybody. That way you can be your best for yourself. And, you know, God bless. That's all I got to say.
Well, put perfectly.
Best way to wrap it up.
I will be, Alexa, before you take over, I will be recapping surviving Barstool for the remainder of the night now with Will. So we go from very positive things to a bunch of guys screaming the F at each other.
Phil.
Yeah. So that's what Will and I will be doing. So if you've been watching Surviving Barstool, episode 7 is tonight. I'm going to watch it after this. Then we'll recap. We're doing 8 tomorrow. And then the finale, episode 9, is actually Wednesday night after Alexa and I will be live. So that's fun. But Alexa, now you do your part, and why not just tease who we have next week? Since Gabler sitting here,
I can't wrap it up after either of you two. But I will be back Wednesday after the episode, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. As Phil said, stay tuned for Surviving Barstool. As Gabler said, tis the season. Spread love. I feel weird balancing both of those at the same time. And we're going to be joined for our finale predictions by James Jones. So, yes, we're gonna cap the season off with your season. He is awesome. Super excited to talk to him. So
I'll be tuning in for that for sure.
Absolutely.
I was actually texting James last night because my wife's a big Cowboys fan and he's obviously a big Philly fan. So we were kind of texting back and forth. And yeah, then I just got quiet because we Cowboys started pulling ahead. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna be quiet.
Yeah.
My phone died. Sorry.
You know what? That's where you like send in. Remember, James, you're the only reason I didn't get a perfect game. Also, Jalen Hurts looks like trash right now. You know, you really start leaning into all his faults. But no. So yeah, we'll have James on Monday. It's the second time we've had him on. He's a great guest. Actually, I think you're the 8th person from your season that we've had on the show, which is the most of the new era by far. But your cast has been very social and very excited to talk about their experience.
We love Survivor, and you know, it's such a great group of people, and you guys, the podcast community is fantastic. It's what we love to talk about and do. It's just great. And I appreciate you guys giving me time tonight to talk about this amazing season with these crazy characters out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So
let's see how it wraps up.
Like and subscribe everybody to this video. Do that. And patreon.com/survivorspecialist for all the fun that, especially the fun that's coming in January. And this month is Alexa's final Q&A and retrospective. So there's better be something.
Hit me with some questions.
Yeah.
People.
Any questions you have for Alexa, Alexa, make sure you hit her with all of those. Gabler, thank you so much
for coming on.
I'm glad we were able to get this done. And it was a pleasure. Hope everybody enjoyed it. And yeah, we'll see Wednesday night around 9:30 Eastern time.
Bye, everyone. All right. Take care, guys.